This is John Lothian with the daily update of commentary and stories from the John Lothian newsletter for December 27th, 2021. This podcast is sponsored by our friends at Eurex. Visit Eurex.com to learn more about trading MSCI derivatives. We lead off JLN today with the comments and stories from the hits and takes section. Omicron is surging everywhere, exceeding Delta's peak cases in the U.S. More than 5,000 flights are canceled globally as crews and schedules are Omicron. The U.K. and France hit 100,000K in new Omicron cases, and I need to get tested. But over-the-counter tests are nowhere to be found. Someone I came in contact with was in contact with someone who tested positive for COVID. I am fully vaccinated and boosted and have no symptoms, but will get tested. I have moved to wearing N95 or K95 masks due to the spread of Omicron. The CBO announced plans to list Ameribor 90 futures beginning January 24, 2022, which follows the launch of Ameribor Term 30 futures in September and further expands the suite of Ameribor interest rate futures. My most popular LinkedIn post over the holiday was about new bond futures at Borsa Istanbul. They are offering physically delivered bond futures and also adding palladium futures and US dollar to Turkish lira futures and options contracts that are physically delivered. Want to know what was a good investment in 2021? Well, opening a bottle of champagne to celebrate your winnings would be the wrong thing to do. Champagne, as measured by LIVX Champagne 50 Index, outperformed the FTSE All World Index so far in 2021, the FT reported. FTX US President Brett Harrison tweeted yesterday that FTX US has more than doubled its user count in the fourth quarter. See the chart numbers with a link in today's newsletter. FTX's Sam Bankman-Fried, in an interview with Business Insider, lays out what he fears the most as FTX's growth explodes. J. Christopher Giancarlo's book Crypto Dad received a less than favorable review from Paul Bluestein, a review on Signy Online. Bluestein, an award-winning journalist and author, he has written extensively about international economics, trade, and financial crises. Sounds like Bluestein has dad issues. Thank you to all who sent Thomas J. Cashman birthday greetings last week. It was very kind of you and meant a lot to him. Thank you to Trading Technologies for matching the donation made by Melanie Buten to our MarketsWiki GoFundMe campaign. There's still room on TT's pledge to match donations to the JLN GoFundMe campaign. During the break between Christmas and New Year's Day, JLN is on what's called Granted Days. On Granted Days, the staff puts out JLN in the morning, but then gets the rest of the day off. This is a reward for all the hard work they do the rest of the year, and because it's normally a slow news time of the year. Thus, we won't be publishing JLN Options or the spread this week. Both will return in January. I think given the stress of the holidays, normally, the Omicron surge and the uncertainty again over future plans, a mental health break is in all our best interest. Here are more stories from the first read section of today's JLN. From USA Today, return to the office paused again as COVID rages. Will we ever go back? The Omicron variant has thrown America's great return to the office into disarray, perhaps for months. Most companies who had notified employees they would need to come back to the office at least part-time early next year have pushed back those plans or are considering doing so because of the latest COVID-19 spike, according to human resources experts and surveys. My comment, I need to go back to the office just one more time, then it's goodbye office for now. Here's a post from Open Markets at the CME from Debbie Carlson. A secret weapon leads to a trading challenge win. The winning team for this year's CME Group's University Trading Challenge had a secret weapon experience. Santiago Crisco, a senior law student at the University of Bogota, Jorge Tadeo Lozano, and the team's leader for Tadeo Futures, was part of a team that placed fourth in the 2018 tournament. Tadeo Futures' win this year makes them the second consecutive team from South America to win, as last year marked the first time a team from Latin America came out on top. A similar experience. Former MarketsWiki co-founder John Matty once had the secret weapon on focusing on just the 30-year Treasury bond futures at the CBOT and was the number one ranked commodity trading advisor of the 700-plus commodity trading advisors that the Price Group tracked back in the 1990s. That led me to sign him to a marketing agreement and raise him more than $3 million, which began our commercial relationship. Here's a story from WBEZ Chicago. It's kind of fun. Those Legos under the tree might be worth more than gold one day. If you're looking for a good investment to close out the year, you might not have to look any further than under your Christmas tree, especially if you've got a Lego set there. Researchers from the Higher School of Economics in Moscow found that select unopened Lego sets on the secondary market saw an average annual return of 11%. That's more than gold and some shares of large companies. Jeff Bergstrom said, "I'm 54 years old. If someone gave me Legos, I'm going to open it and play with it." My comment, "Now you tell me, Jeff, 2 days after Christmas." Here are the top three stories from Thursday's JLN. Our top story on Thursday, December 23rd, was "Wall Street is no fun anymore," a Matt Levine piece from Bloomberg. Second was "The remote work revolution spawns a new class of supercomputers," from Bloomberg Businessweek. Third was "Four observations from 4 years of CME Bitcoin futures," a LinkedIn post from Tim McCourt, managing director at CME Group, global head of equity products. Here are the top stories from the lead section of today's JLN. The first one is from Yahoo Finance. It's titled, "How Coinbase Rode Crypto's Inflection Point to a Rocky but Momentous Year." In 2021, Microsoft, Yahoo Finance's company of the year, saw its market capitalization top $2 trillion. During the year, the ascendant cryptocurrency asset class set two major milestones. Its market cap also topped $2 trillion, and Coinbase, the most popular U.S.-based crypto exchange, which went public on the NASDAQ through the largest ever direct listing. With a market cap of over $70 billion, Coinbase value is just over a fraction compared to the tech heavyweights like NASDAQ, but is multiples higher than the $8 billion valuation it fetched only a few years before. That's no small feat considering Coinbase global CEO Brian Armstrong co-founded the company with Fred Earsom at the time when Bitcoin cost less than $10. It traded above $50,000 on Friday. Here's another story, this one from Bloomberg. NFTs and SNL. Crypto keeps burrowing into the mainstream. It was another crazy year in the crypto world, but traders didn't seem to mind. Millions of new investors decided to try their hand at cryptocurrencies in 2021. Crypto has been many things in its short history. 2021 was the year it became part of the mainstream. Elon Musk tweeted about it often. It was parodied on Saturday Night Live. Collins Dictionary dubbed NFT, the acronym for non-fungible tokens, its word of the year. Institutional investors looked for ways to get in. And the first Bitcoin ETF started trading. Individual traders bought crypto on their phones when they weren't snapping up GameStop Corp. And then the last two stories, the CNN Business China will tighten rules on overseas IPOs but won't ban them entirely. Hong Kong, China is planning to tighten restrictions for Chinese companies that want to list overseas, but the government won't ban them from trading abroad altogether. The securities regulator proposed late Friday that any firm that wants to go public in another country has to register with the agency first and then meet a set of requirements set forth by government officials. And then lastly, from Bloomberg, LIBOR is dead, almost. What was, what comes next? For half a century, the series of interest rates known collectively as the London Interbank Offered Rate, or LIBOR, has helped determine the cost of all sorts of borrowing around the world. But over the last decade, it became seen as outdated and discredited, and a decision was made to kill off the benchmark at the end of 2021. That sent the financial world scrambling to adjust the terms and contracts on hundreds of trillions of dollars worth of products, from mortgages and credit cards to interest rate swaps. Banks collectively spent an estimated $10 billion preparing for LIBOR's demise, but fears of a messy transition mean that some existing contracts can linger on, though new deals based on LIBOR are set to end on New Year's Eve. This podcast is sponsored by our friends at Eurex. Visit Eurex.com to learn more about trading MSCI derivatives. Thank you for listening to the John Lothian News Daily Update. Please consider telling a friend about our podcast, and if you haven't yet, write a review on Apple Podcasts. This helps new listeners find us. Also, if you aren't already a John Lothian newsletter subscriber, you can get a free 90-day trial at johnlothiannews.com/trial. Have a great day and stay safe and treat people the same way you want to be treated, with respect, equality, and justice. This has been John Lothian. Goodbye.